game.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Hey, it's Thursday night, it's Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, your host, the Tree Hugger, and I've just about caught up to regular normal time, because I'll tell you what, time on a boondoggle goes by at a rate of about, 1 minute of boondoggle time is like, it's just forever, man. So I'm beat, and I'm catching up, so it's good to be back. But I wish I was still there and all that good stuff. So it's Thursday, 23 February, and Boondoggle 2012, the first one of the year, is in the books, and we give it a big thumbs up. I think that I have confirmed that everybody has arrived safely with the exception of Yak Sushi and Sam. They were passed through Georgia a little earlier this evening. I got a text from him, so everybody got there safely except for Bill. Bill, you didn't make it safe, but you made it safely home, and that was a good thing, man. We missed you. Bill, Howard, Haywood, you there?
Yes.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry you didn't make it, dude.
I'm sitting here in my Crocs.
Sitting there in his Crocs. Yeah. Let me bring on the rest of Buzzard's Row here. We've got Mark Wheeler, our Wednesday night host. Hey, what's up, Wheeler?
What's going on, man?
And we got Mr. Becker, the man with the golden tone, the Imperial Revisionist. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, one and all.
How are you, sir?
Doing very well. Like you, still wishing I was about 3.5 hours further south than where I am, but great
man.
Time.
You know, if it wasn't so far, I'd be there this weekend, man. I really would. So, and also joining us live now is Rob, a Bad Backcast DeVore. Hey, Rob, how are you tonight?
Hey, good evening.
Good, man.
Good.
So how many hits have you got on the Boondoggle trailer, the teaser?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the analytics yet, but the way I was, the first one was doing really well, and then I changed the link on it, and that one's doing really well, too. It seems like everybody's got it up on their Facebook pages. And
this would be viral by now, right?
Yeah, it's people think it's been a positive reaction to it.
It's been very good. You did a good job, dude. I can't wait to see the rest of it. How much video did you get from everybody?
Well, between Adam and Dee Dee Olson, that's about 6 hours worth of on the water footage.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, I got probably a couple of hours worth just on my GoPro, and then on the Swan, I got a couple of hours worth of other stuff. But I didn't get to interview everybody that I wanted to. You know, I don't know if I have enough for a full blown story or not. But we'll see. I know I can probably get at least 20 minutes worth, maybe 30 minutes edited together for a halfway decent kind of film movie type thing.
Well, it looks good, man. Keep it going, right? All right, it's going to be very, very, very cool,
that,
man.
That was just one of the, I mean, it was a pretty easy setup for the, with the iMovie, you know, kind of one of the canned trailers that you got in there. All I had to do was just change the text and drag and drop some of the clips in.
Oh.
And it was pretty much pretty easy.
All right. I don't know if you guys saw it, but the Yak Sushi, it happened on her page first this morning, but Mark popped a question to Sam. So they are officially engaged.
Yay.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, so it's awesome for them. They are they're happily engaged, and said I got a text from them. I tried to catch them on the way through and see if they needed a place to stop over for the night, but they're pressing on. Also, some stuff here from, I got some little notes, call them Rescue Team 6 there, Wheeler and Scuba Stan, you guys going over and trying to help out Haywood and Mr. Becker there. You guys did a great job. Reactions were quick. And appreciate that, trying to make it happen for everybody.
Yeah, most definitely. I do appreciate that.
So, and Chuck is just joining us. Oh, hold on. I get back to there. I'm glad this thing doesn't kick my butt out of here when I push the wrong buttons. So, yeah, all right, Chuck, you there?
Hey.
Hey. What are you doing, man? And Chuck is like the super swag man from, he's like the champion swag getter.
He is the Radar O'Reilly of Boondoggle Swag.
Boondoggle Swag, that's it, man. I swear, the dude is awesome, man. You see the pictures, Bill, of the tables of swag we had laid out? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, so next time, though, I think we're going to pre-package those babies and get it through a little quicker, man, so you can sit down, Chuck.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of time for planning and organization.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, your efforts were very, very noticed, man. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it.
So we'll come back to the Boondoggle here in just a second. But I just want to point out, next week, if you join us, we're going to have Brittany Nowalski on from Florida Sportswoman. She just got a new project going called the Saltwater Sportswoman. So everybody check it out. And she's going to join us next week to plug the new system there. So it's very cool. And
we want to right now.
Yeah, I want to support her with that. So you got some pictures of Jess and I think some of the other ladies there from fishing this weekend need to go ahead and submit their pictures in there. Fit right in. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. And Jerry, that a lot of people met, our friend from paddlingfan.com, her new site. Make sure you check that out. And if you don't, she's on Twitter also, so follow her at paddlingfan. I'm trying to get Richard to join us from Harry Good's shop. I want him to join us on the show, so I got to get with him. So I haven't forgot about that.
Happen.
Huh?
I can make that happen.
Now let me make it happen, Chuck. I'd like to give him a personal invite there to join us. So, but You did a lot, man, and I got his number. I gotta get with him and get him on. So, and I wanna talk to him anyways. Get his address and send him a hat. So, let's see. You know, as far as that, you know, support the problem with trying to name everybody. I mean, we've got a page there for the Boondoggle page at yakangler.com/boondoggle. And we've got a page up with all the icons of everybody who supported us. And even still, I think we need to add a couple of icons on there. But go onto those pages, click those pages, and make sure that you support those folks because they didn't have to give us a thing. And also, from Chokoloskee Island Park, Linda and Wayne, our hosts there, they don't own that park. They're just the live-in hosts there. And I put a link up at yakangler.com, and I'll put it up again tonight after the show. If you haven't gone on and written a review, please do so, because that will help them out a big time. So we want to make sure that we give them support, because I know there's several folks that want to go back, and it would be nice. And if you go back, don't forget. And I don't know, you know, Bill, did you not know about the Havana Cafe there?
No, I knew about it. Remember what I told you about
no,
it?
I don't remember, that's man. A, no. Remember,
yeah,
you're younger than I am.
But I thought it was closed down because, you know, not too long ago, this owner of that was wrapped up in some kind of drug conspiracy or something in Naples. So
that was
some of
the best.
It worked out.
Yeah. Wheeler, did you enjoy the Havana Cabana?
Yes. I'm going to keep it simple. Yes.
Just keep it simple, yes. Mr. Becker joined us for breakfast there on was it Monday morning, and I think that had I known about it earlier, I think every morning I would have swung over there, picked up a breakfast sandwich and a large café con leche to take with me in my kayak. Yeah.
Café con leche was good.
Yeah, it was good, yes. They had great breakfast sausage too, man, and bacon. Oh, it was awesome, man. So yeah.
Best black beans and rice.
Oh, the black beans and rice was to die for. Yeah, that was awesome. Okay, so it was good, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what we learned there. But going forward, the second annual or third or fourth or whatever, but our next boondoggle, the next big one, now this is 9 months away, so we'll probably have some mini trips in between here and there, but the next big organized one is going to be Columbus Day Boondoggle in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Our primary site of landing there is going to be at First Landing State Park. They have cabins. D.D. Olson has already propelled himself to the front of the line and already reserved his cabin up there. Now,
nice.
Being the dolt that I am, I got on there and said, you know, I'm trying to read it, right? Their in season is from like Memorial Day to Labor Day, or vice versa, whichever. I can't remember which one comes first or which one comes last. But in between there, the cabins, you have to rent them for a week at a time, and the start date is based on the name of the cabin. There's Friday, Saturday, and Sundays in the name of the cabin. But we're going to be there after the end of the season. So you don't have to do any kind of special week-long thing, and the Saturday and Sundays – cabins, you can start them on Friday when we get there. So the cabins are, I think, $129 a night or $112 a night, and you can pack up to six people in there with two vehicles per site. So City of Ash has let me know that Memorial Day, then Labor Day. I guess it would be easy if I just remember that Labor Day is the last one, right? Or is it the other way around? But whatever. Let's say hi to the folks in the chat room. We got City of Ash. There's Pop Gibson. Hey, Dad. D.D. Olson is in there. LGB. A couple of guests. Guests, if you're joining us, all you need to do is open up a page with your Facebook or your Twitter account, sign into that, and then click on the login section of Kayak Fishing Radio, and that'll log you right in. You have to refresh the page, but and give it a second, and it'll load up. It should. Put in a couple of trouble calls to the techs, and hopefully they get it squared away. Hammerhead is in there. Kayak Kevin is joining us. Hey, Kev, what's going on? And Mitchell Dorsey, hey, Scott. I missed you down there, you guys. So hopefully Kevin's going to be able to join us up there, and Rob Choi and the rest of the crew from that area, the Loziers, Wheeler, they're all going to be there. And we'll kick it. The dates are October 5th through the 8th. October 5 through 8. 5 is a Friday. You can arrive at 1500 and check out times at 10 in the morning. So, how is that park, Wheeler? Is it pretty good?
It was ranked the number one state park in the country the past couple of years. So,
well, they just changed the name, right? Because First Landing is actually where the Virginia Company landed and then went on to populate Jamestown, right, from there?
Correct. Yeah, and right next door is Fort Story. It's an Army base. It's more of a tourist attraction, actually, than an Army base. They've got the Cape Henry Light there, or one of the old lighthouses, like just brain fart. It's not Cape Henry, it's Cape Charles. Like, and they have reenactments with the, you know, true Indian or Native Americans and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. But the park is split into two. You have the ocean side, which is on the left hand of the northern side of Shore Drive, and then you have the nature trail and small bay side on the southern side, and it's just, you know, it's a great place to go and just walk around sometimes because of the nature and stuff like that. So,
well, I'm not coming up there for no nature walk, dude. I want to fish.
I'm talking about family members that won't be fishing.
Oh.
If you're going to be fishing,
it is gonna, like, we'll put the kayaks on our back and race up the lighthouse. You up for that, spider monkey?
No. I don't think there are enough kill cliffs in the world to fix that back problem afterwards.
No, but I'll make sure there's a few there this time.
Yeah, we'll try to get some in there.
There will be many kill cliffs there.
Yeah, we're working on getting a number there. Wheeler's already doing the spider monkey thing. So, will we be launching mostly from the beach there, or are we going to be putting – I mean, one thing that at Chukaloski, for folks that listening in, a note to self in my notebook was and I've got some reviews to write on some carts. Everybody brought their wheels, or, you know, you just drug your kayak. You parked, and then you just drug your kayak. We launched right there. Now, this one, where the cabins are, where the campsites are, it's a little more than just a 100-yard drag. So we're going to be moving boats around on the vehicles or whatever every time, right?
Right, and I'm working – because if you wanted to launch right there at first landing, you can. You're right there out of some really nice fishing areas out in the mouth of the bay. If you're looking for more skinny water, you know, something that a lot of people are used to, Linden Haven's just down the road. But what I'm working on right now is getting – Abmanix River Company has a humongous trailer that they can put like 15 kayaks on. I'm working with them to try to rent, quote unquote, that trailer for the weekend, just so we can load. You know, if we want to, you know, take the, you know, everyone wanted to fish, let's say Linden Haven, because Linden Haven, due to scouting reports, has been hot.
We'll
all head there. You know, or Rudy, or you know, if you're feeling brave, you want to go out to the Bay Bridge Tunnel or HRBT. You know, there's always parking and, you know, nice launches there. So it's pretty much the sky's the limit for this one. You know, and I think we can, you know, if it's perfect for those that, you know, if you're just starting off, we have areas that you can fish that you'll catch fish.
Yeah.
If you're an experienced, you know, kayaker, you know, we have areas that that can challenge you too. So, you know.
I want to be like Kevin. I'm going to be like Kevin and catch giant fish, man, and noodle a bluefin tuna.
If I see Kevin...
That's Kevin's new DVD coming out. It's noodling bluefin tunas off the beach. Anyways, so that's the heads up, and I'm going to move on to my notes here. All right. What did we learn? We learned that Becker was the only guy with gold darts in his tackle box, and he wouldn't share.
That's not right.
It's true, but it's not right. That's right. You need to share, man. You watch Mr. Rogers when you're a kid. So we practice. Don't leave fish to go look for fish, and. As we went around a corner, Becker spies a sweet looking spot there. We got moving water. I think another key factor was there were locals that had pulled up on the beach and were running back and forth, casting wildly towards tailing fish.
I take all indicators into account when absolutely, making decisions about where to fish.
Absolutely. But one thing I thought, you know, I looked in my tackle box and I had several gold spoons in there. When you said gold dart, I tried, you know, matching up what I had in there. I could have asked you, but I had a gold spoon. I should have thrown that. I mean, because when I threw the spinner bait that had the big gold Colorado blade on it, they hit it. So keep it simple. And then when we went out with Jean the next day, the clone paddles over. She says, "Come here, let me fix your bait." And she put a DOA greenback curly tail on, and fish started popping at him. You know, so then I went over and stole it from him and put it on my hook. No, I didn't do that. But interesting, though. I mean, it was a good lesson in going to a place that was very diverse. I mean, because we went from having those shoals, those oyster beds out there, low water, you know, and we're starting off at a low tide with an incoming tide. I think, I don't know, lessons learned, Mr. Becker?
I'm sorry, I missed that. I was doing a writer mixed number and a fraction greater than one.
Playing words with friends again? Come on, man.
No, fractions homework.
Oh, fractions homework?
Yeah.
Oh. Chuck, we'll come back to you, Mr. Becker. Chuck, you there?
Yeah.
All right, lessons learned, man. You had never fished there, right?
No, I'd never fished there before. The hardest part for me was trying to figure out where I wanted to go to try and fish. Everything looks so fishy. And I had a hard time the first, like, hour or so on the water trying to locate fish. So I just resorted back to things that I would do here to find fish, and it worked. So, you know, it was interesting. I think if I go back down there again, I won't be paddling out on the super low tide. To me, it didn't make a whole lot of sense for where I went. We got out late. You guys had already taken off and gone around the corner, and we shot over towards the mangroves, towards the islands. And I mean, it was whitewater kayak fishing at its best.
Yeah, the flow was incredible there.
But I don't know. I had a lot more success when the water came up than I did when the water was low. Not when the tide was completely changed, but right as it was getting done coming into the full high. And I don't know. The tactics I thought about using down there with the same ones that I ended up using, and they worked, man. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I had fun. It was a great time, and it's definitely a neat fishery. I was a little surprised that some of the locals that were there fishing with us didn't seem to be, to me a little bit more helpful as far as locating fish, or at least giving us kind of a quick rundown of where we needed to really look, you know what I'm saying? I mean, granted, we got out late, and we weren't in the big groups with everybody else. There's just four of us. But
I think Jean was just, like, figuring that if people saw her casting in a spot that they would do the same thing, because she had marked positions on her GPS, so, which is cool.
Yeah,
by the same token, we're also giving her slack and you know, not crowding up on her spots. And if you see somebody fishing in a spot, it's really not the best etiquette. Unintentional mispronunciation to run up and start bouncing baits off her boat.
Right, well, and that's not what I was referring to. I was more or less saying, you know, hey guys, you know, you might want to look for this or you might want to look for that or whatever.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it didn't make a difference. I still caught 50 plus fish for the entire trip, so I had a great time. But you know, I just, I don't know.
Show off. Now, I said it right up front, you know, I mean, I get out there and talk to people and stuff, and then I'm trying to get the clone on stuff. But, okay, who went back to Google Maps and looked back on the map, you know, with the terrain on it to see where we fished. I know I did. Did you go back and review?
Huh? Yeah, I did. I did too, and I was mad at myself. I didn't.
Yeah, because you're like, what I did. Oh man, those were holes. They weren't shoals.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of spots. In fact, but at the same time, at that point, it made sense. You know, I picked up fish in areas that looked on Google Earth like there should be fish there. You know what I'm saying? And wasted a lot of time fishing areas that even on Google Earth I should have known better. You know, but. I think that's going to be the answer for future endeavors is going to be trying to really use that tool, Google Earth or one of those types of things, to really kind of get an idea of what the lay of the land looks like from above. Because,
yeah,
man, sitting in that kayak and you're staring at endless mangrove trees, it's hard to tell a difference between one or the other. So.
Right. So, no, I did. I went back. Mr. Becker, yourself, did you go back and look at the charts and see – where we were
I
at?
Actually did not. That is on my plan to do.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I regretted not doing, and it wasn't until paddling back the last day we fished that I thought about it. I had a GPS mounted on the boat the entire time.
Yeah.
And the only position I ever marked was the launch. I never got numbers on any of the other spots to go back. And I had planned to do that. I had planned to get numbers on spots we caught fish and then go back to Google Maps and kind of create a little fish map of spots and see how it compared to some other stuff. And I never pushed the button again after I did it for the launch. So
yeah, I only marked the dock. That's it.
Yep, that's it. I need to know where I need to get back to. And that's that.
Yeah. So, note to self, look at use the Google Maps, use the Bing Maps or whatever. Rob, did you go back and check it out?
Yeah, man. It was awesome, you know, after the fact. I love doing that, you know,
yeah,
reviewing
little,
that stuff after the fact.
Still in your brain, you go back there and you go, oh, this is where we were. If we had just gone right over here, it was a deep hole. And, yep, Wheeler.
Yep. No. I saw so many spots. That was the thing. I was like, I didn't know where to cast to first. You know, it's like, you know, for instance, around some of the spots here, let's say, you know, in a square mile, you might have a dozen spots to fish, you know, maybe, let's just say. And there, it was like, there was a dozen spots to cast to, like, in 100 feet, you know.
Yeah,
so
I feel
it was like... It was almost just like Disney World or something, man. It was crazy.
I felt like a caffeinated squirrel in Nuts or Us, you know, out there running around and stuff, man.
Absolutely, man. It was like, you know, being a kid in the, you know, Willy Wonka's chocolate factory or something.
Oh,
you know?
No, I want some of this. I want some of that. Yeah. Oh, this looks good. Look, water moving here. Oh, no water moving. You know, like when we moved over to the mouth of the Turner, for instance. Okay, so I had the right idea. I see the water coming around the corner. There's a little bit of a shoal there. I'm thinking, okay, this looks good. Just like the clone and I, the first time I got him on some snook, I got rushing water around the shoal. But I needed to go around to the other side because the daggum fish were holding on the backside of it. There was a hole back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? I wanted to tell you guys that because there for a while, you guys were casting against the current. You were going the opposite way.
Well, that was when we were up on the front.
They know.
Yeah, yeah, but then when I moved around, I let it drift with the current, and it went around that corner, and it dropped off the edge, and I got hit right on the other side. So I grabbed, and the current was flowing so strong at that time, it was really a pain in the butt to try to move over. Grab his rod and re-rig it and stuff like that. So, but we learned.
No, I'm telling you though, in fishing with Gene, okay, I fish pretty slow, you know. I mean, I just take my time and I methodically, you know, work spots. Because, you know, you don't just cast to a spot twice and then, you know, move on. She's like casting, paddling one-handed, reeling, you know. And next thing you know, she's like 100 yards away. I'm like, you know, I fish way slower. So I don't know if you, you know, with all of those spots, maybe you need to fish faster. I don't know. But I did see a number of textbook-looking spots that was just like, you know, it's like an oyster bar sticking out from a man, you know, like coming around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's current coming over that. And, I mean, it was just, there's got to be a redfish sitting there, you know, or a couple
yep.
of them. And, you know, I've worked the spot, you know, probably cast to it, you know, a dozen times. And then I'm like, man, I got to be losing my mind. And, you know, paddled over there, and bam, there goes a redfish.
Yeah.
That happened about six or seven times. And
yeah, as we were motoring around on Sunday afternoon there, it was me and Adam and the clone. We were in, you know, tail end Charlie bringing up the rear. And he casts up underneath this one area. It was just kind of, the tide was almost high. And we were getting a spot where, you know, you could see, okay, now that the tide's up, all of those mangrove roots are covered. And you know the fish are in there messing around. And he bounced the mirror lure right up underneath there. And four little snooklets come chasing it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool, man.
Yeah.
Really cool to see. But they're just babies, you know, so they're not really that aggressive yet. So, but it was cool. It was a lot of fun, and it's textbook learning and stuff like that, you know. Just, but the problem, I think, was just, it was just so overwhelming, you know. And I think I saw, you know, Becker played it right. You know, hey, we got to the first spot. It looks pretty good here. I mean, I don't know how we passed up just going out, you know, 100 yards from the dock and starting right there and working our way around, because I know we paddled right by fish when we left the first morning. So
yeah, but remember, the tide was lower when we left there. And
that's
true. When we left there, there was not enough water to hold fish on those bars, because I was looking at every one of them, and they were, you know, they were really, really skinny. But when we got out to that second set of bars there,
yeah,
where
there
the water was coming through those cuts,
you
had another 4 or 5 inches of water in there, and that, I think, made all the difference.
Yeah.
I watched a charter boat captain work in the backside of one of those bars that first day, and they were throwing shrimp on popping corks, and they were wearing it out, man. But again, you know, keep giving people their space and not getting around them, and I don't like to even be able to read the print on someone's shirt, let alone know what color boat they're in if I'm, you know, going down in an area. But I was watching those guys. They were killing it that first day on a popping cork with shrimp around those bars. And honestly, I wanted to do that the second day, but I really wanted to try and explore the insides of those mangroves. But
it was real.
And it's like, you can go down there for like 2 weeks and still not come close to fishing half of the places that you know would prepare to fish. It's that place is absolutely incredible. It's without a doubt the best fishery that I've ever been to, as far as wanting to get back there right away.
I was really torn Sunday morning about whether to go across to the mangroves or to go back out where we started Saturday morning, Greg. You know, I mean, it was like, because I knew it was still going to be on like Donkey Kong out there, man.
Yeah, and I think either way, it was a good choice. The one challenge we had out in the middle there was the wind.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If we had gone out to those bars, we would have had a hard time, keeping the boats out of the oysters.
That's true.
With the way we would have had to drift with the current the way it was, it would have been a lot more challenging than it was the first morning. So.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's what we finally did make the decision to move into the mangroves was to be able to avoid the wind. So,
speaking of those bars, you know, on Friday morning, me and Swanee Refugee went out, and we were kind of working around those mangroves a little bit, some of the oyster bars and such. And this old guy came out from Arlington, Virginia, and he came out after us and was working those bars. And he was wearing it out on some trout, man. He had like 4-keeper trout, and he's like, now I'm just looking for a redfish. And he went, you know, paddled past us about 100 feet and just threw in a bucktail jig. And within about 5 minutes, he had a keeper redfish. And he said, okay, I'm done. I got dinner and went back in. I mean, he was out for about maybe 40 minutes the whole time.
Yeah.
So that was those bars,
you know, those
there. Like
those meat hunters
off the kayak Yeah. No, the bars right there by the kayak launch were great, man. Those had fish on them, like, all the time.
Right. Wheeler, did you eat them snapper, man?
Yes, I did.
How were they? Were they tasty? Were they sweet?
They were delicious, man.
Yeah.
And I left the skin on and put them on the grill tonight, and they were, my God.
I was disappointed
we didn't get to try a few of those.
Yeah.
We wore them out.
Yeah.
God, they were so dumb. I've never seen mangrove snapper that stupid in my entire life.
I've
caught a lot of mangrove snappers in my day, and I've never seen them that dumb. Like, we only fished one small rock pile.
Yeah.
Me, Chris, and Wheeler. And I bet you for the three of us in 2 days, we must have pulled, I don't know, man. I know I caught at least 40 of them. Chris probably came close to that, if not bettered me, because he stayed out a little bit longer than one day. And a Wheeler caught a good dozen or so. So off the one spot, it was crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just looking at it. I mean, I think my thing was, you know, not just picking a pattern and getting on it. And that's the big thing. You know, if you're going to do tournaments or something like that, or if you want to get on fish quickly, you have to identify that pattern and then work it. And it just took me a bit to catch on with it. But it was pretty cool. I mean, it was really, really fun. We'll talk more about techniques and stuff next week, and I'm sure that the guys, Chuck and Wheeler, will be doing the same on their shows. But I got to go back to cleaning out my trailer and stuff, man. It took me 4 hours to pack my trailer when we got ready to leave, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, see, Rob, man, Mr. Miyagi and his chopsticks and one rod and stuff like that. But
down to one rod.
Well, you know, I'm trying to, you know, outguess all situations and stuff. Plus I had some other gear and stuff that we had to come in with, but so who brought stuff that they didn't need to bring? We're going to go down the line. Wheeler, what can you leave behind next time?
Just about every other piece of gear that I brought.
Yeah.
You know, and
now you have an extra shrimp bucket and a VHF radio too, right?
Yeah. And the tent I got a bunch of stuff that I didn't need to bring and stuff that I should have brought that I didn't. That place, you know, if we were there, talking to many of the local guides, if we were there, let's say, April, May time frame, you know, some of the gear would have worked, but, you know, at most, you know, a quarter ounce jig and less than that, you know, to a 16th ounce, and soft plastics, you know, that's all you would need if you were, you know, wanted to go that route and spinning and casting gear.
Yeah.
That's it. You know?
I mean, I was using quarter ounce jig heads, soft plastics, paddle tails, and curly tails, DOA curly tails, and a couple of mirror lures, the Mirrodine suspending bait. And what else did I throw? I tried some of that other stuff that I brought along. You cannot throw a 7-inch hoagie with a 7-aught hook from a medium light 7-foot rod. It's like, you know, using a piece of grass switch, man, to try to throw it. When you gave me that little short one, though, that worked out pretty well. But yeah, I think those were my go-to baits for that. And I think that's, you know, that's the thing. Somebody was talking about it the other night about, you know, having a confidence in the bait and go to it, you know? So I know Chuck is a paddle tail guy, right, Chuck?
Yeah, I didn't break out the paddle tails one time.
What were you throwing?
Dude, listen.
Oh, you're not going to tell us?
No, I am. I got so frustrated the first couple hours. I was throwing everything under the sun except for a paddle tail. Didn't even break that out yet. And then I decided that, when I heard on the radio chatter that Mr. Becker had caught his fish on a dart, I was like, well, there's probably a good possibility they're going to be kind of in an aggressive mode with this tide flow. There's a lot of oysters. The way I like to fish a paddle tail, it's not real conducive for that. So I rigged a Gulp Turk Shad and root beer and gold flake because it's the only gold-ish anything I had on a 4-aught weedless hook. And I caught half of my snook, my two redfish, and a nice mangrove snapper on that bait. And
that one bait.
Well, I mean, that right. I mean, I had to change it to black twice, but it's the same, you know, the same same pattern. But staying with the what would you leave behind, probably 250 pounds of gear and just bring down about 50 live bait hooks in the 1, 1-0, and 2-0 sizes and thin wire, a couple of popping corks, and a handful of gulp in any variety.
Yeah.
And just be done with it because it was, it didn't have to be as technical as I wanted to try and make it. I mean,
right.
Fly stuff would have been fun. It was way too windy for that. And in reality, I mean, I was never really in a place that I thought would be, that would be a usable tool from where I was. But, that's, I don't know, man.
Yeah, we can create some threads over the next week or so, but I think that a lot of us have gotten into where, you know, you think so technical about it and everything. And I remember at one point I was sitting one day up a lake in North Georgia with Randy Vining. And I said, you know, Randy, this fishing thing, man, is really got me because I really am bad at freshwater fishing. I cannot catch a freshwater fish. You know, if it was a cold, I wouldn't be able to catch it. And And I said, Randy, when I was a kid, I could just go down to the water with a cane pole and a little wire hook and some bread and catch 100 fish. And he said, when was the last time you tried that? You know, and it's just to keep it simple. You know, it's that KISS principle of get out there and, you know, because, I mean, there's a little bit to be said about color, you know, with clear water or dirty water or whatever. And I was expecting the water to be clearer than it was from some of the earlier reports that we had gotten. But by the time we got there, that south wind was blowing that silt and everything up in there. So the water was getting a little bit dirtier. So a bright bait, that gold dart like Becker used, or when we first threw the spinner baits, they had the big gold Colorado blades on them. I think that's what drew the fish's attention. But just keeping it simple, not trying to be so technical, you know. Just get a confidence bait on that you know how to work and you're good with. And just throw it out there and work it, you know. But let's go back to what would you leave behind. Rob, what did you have that you would leave behind? Or you could get any leaner than you are.
I didn't touch the meat stick or the fly rod the entire time. But wish I had another spinning outfit with me.
Yeah, because you broke the one.
Yeah. But other than that, I can't really think of anything that I didn't bring that I brought that I was like, man, I should have left that.
Yeah. Mr. Becker?
I only used about three baits all weekend. You know,
right.
Iridine, Arkansas Glow, Shad Tail, and a DOA Curly Tail. I didn't get the memo about the gold or anything or the gold dart because I had some of those with me and I just didn't use them. That's usually for me. It's like a cold water, like wintertime cold
type right.
thing. You know that you can work really slow. And it just didn't seem that way to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mr. Becker?
Sir?
So, I mean, you had a little bit of, okay, I'm going an hour, and then you had to turn around and go back. So you probably were just throwing what you thought you could get in the car to come back down with. But, I mean, were the things, you know, leave behind that you forgot to bring?
No, actually, the only thing that I thought I forgot to bring that I didn't was my fishing license, and that was just in a different bag.
Yeah.
But I got to have a very nice conversation about that with a man I must tell you, it's a brave man in a boat and a uniform who carries a taser out onto the salt water. I wonder if they've ever actually thought about that, but I digress. I was able to get all my stuff that was in the back of Bill's truck into my car. I had to replace the shocks this week, but I was able to do it. And I had what I wanted and had what I needed. I've had a different experience with the Gold Dart, probably because I was kind of raised on it here in saltwater by the Gold Dart Jedi Knight Haywood.
Is that an exude dart or what?
It's an exude dart, and I like them in for a lot of reasons. You can rig them so many different ways.
Right.
You know, when we were over in the faster current, I was fishing on a quarter-ounce weedless jig head to really get it down quicker. When we were over by the oyster bars, I was fishing it on a 4-aught keel-weighted Slayer hook.
Okay.
So it would lay flat, you know, wouldn't dive down into the oysters and get stuck. It would just kind of lay down flat, and you could work it fast, work it slower. It has become a real confidence bait in a lot of different colors for me, and I like being able to fish it and rig it so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But I had the paddle tails with me, threw them a little bit, didn't do much. The top water is always, I normally carry three spinning rods. One is always rigged with a top water. One is always rigged with a soft plastic. And then the other one is the flexible rod that may get the Miradine. It may get, something else thrown on it if I want to throw it real quick but I did that this time and it worked out pretty well. Lessons learned. If you want to map what you're doing, actually push the buttons on the GPS.
Right.
Make sure you know where in the boat your fishing license is, because even though you may bet, if you bet 667 in the majors, they'll put you in the Hall of Fame forever. Two out of three, being my PFD and my signaling device, were not quite enough for the man in the boat with writing on the side.
That's right.
So it cost me a little bit of time, but no, I think we did things right. I think everybody had the opportunity to catch fish and get out there and find things. So the only thing I would have brought, if I'd thought about it, I would have brought, as Chuck said, some size one, Mutu light circle hooks or something like that from Owner or something smaller, because I never even gave any thought to the snapper or any of the other fish that size. I was kind of focused on redfish, trout, snook, and maybe a tarpon if I could, run one over in the boat. But
yeah,
that's where I was at. That.
Go back, say again.
You know something that was funny about the hook size? Going back to how stupid the snapper are down there. Chris ran out of live bait hooks and took a live shrimp and somehow or another threaded it on a 3-0 worm hook. And was still catching them on that big old wide gap 3-0 worm hook. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life, man.
The problem we had was when we made that corner where the little gravel bar was and the water was rushing around, Wheeler jumped in there first and picked up and found the snapper. I thought he was just freelining a shrimp in there. So initially I had the clone rigged up with just a hook. I had a number one circle hook on it. We tossed it in there, and he wasn't getting anything. Wheeler's just bam, bam, bam every time he tossed it in there. Well, come to find out, Wheeler's got, what were you using, Mark, about a quarter-ounce jig head?
Yeah, I was using one of my quarter-ounce copperhead jig heads, which surprisingly was my key. If I didn't have the copperhead on, I switched to a chartreuse color. They wouldn't hit it as regularly. As soon as I put the copperhead on, because it's got some flash to it, it was an immediate hit. I mean, it hit the water. I closed, closed the bail, come tight, and I had another one on, so.
Yeah, and I pulled that hook off through, and all I had a little, one of them little quarter-ounce jig heads. It was a red jig head with white eyes on it, and just put it in the tail of the shrimp as soon as it got down there, because they were in the bottom of that hole. So you needed the weight to be able to get down. That current was rushing by so much. I think that was a lot of my problem. I was fishing too light, so my baits were not getting down to the strike zone, so. But, well, we can go on forever and ever and ever, and we will, because we've got, 5 days a week and a show on each week. But I think it's been a good discussion this evening, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what do we got coming up? We got the new Boondoggle. That's we still got to get some more info up, but it'll come up yakangler.com/Boondoggle or kayakfishingradio.com/Boondoggle. The ex-sushi hasn't been in the house. He's been down there still enjoying an entire week of fishing, plus the pop in the question, and congratulations to him and Sam. They're now engaged. But remember to go in and check out the supporters that sent us some swag and send them a thank you note, and we'll do the same. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Another good Thursday night. I'm about done for the evening. Wheeler, you got anything?
No, just, wishing it was warmer. You know, where we had some nice warm days these past couple of days. You know, into
like
the 70s,
degrees,
it's still not
man.
Warm enough. It's still not warm enough for me. You know, and then we got a cold front. You know, and there's still, you know, if you want to chase stripers, you know, that's fun, but I've had my fill. I wanted to get back on the trout and the reds and the snook and mangrove snappers. I'm in love with mangrove snappers, so.
Uh-huh.
Fun fish.
Yeah. Rob?
Yes,
closing
sir?
Closing remarks?
Nope.
Nope.
Don't have anything to say, man.
All right, man. Keep working on that video.
Yeah, it should be. I'll let you know.
All right. Mr. Becker?
Other than it's, I think I said in the in my little interview with Rob there that, you've got one of the best places I can imagine in Florida for scenery and weather and folks to go out and fish with. For me, actually hooking up and having the line tight was just an added benefit. It was really about the people we got to hang out with and spend time with. So thanks for everybody for making that a really, really great weekend. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
That's what everybody said.
And for the dust-off mission as well, that was very much appreciated because it gets dusty alongside of
I-75. You didn't take any pictures of yourself fishing in that ditch, though. That would have been funny.
Well, yeah, I decided to leave the 4-foot gator alone and not irritate him too much and get accused of harassing the alligator. So.
Yeah. So, all right. Chuck, closing remarks, sir?
Had a great time. Everybody's awesome. Fishing was good. And like I said, at the in the little building we were in, it's not about the fishing as much as it is about the camaraderie and getting together with all you guys. It's a great time. You guys are all my extended family. There you go.
Absolutely. You know, I'll still say it. I've yet to fish with anybody that I realized I didn't like. So it was a total blast. So. Check it out next time. Check out our page. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, Kayak Fish In Radio. It's not the ING, it's just Fish In Radio. Yakangler.com. And we'll see you next week. Good night, guys. Have a good one.